Good morning, Mount Pisgah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Scott.
Well, Mount Pisgah, good to see you.
We have been talking about worship for the last couple of weeks, and I hope that there has been some truths that you've been able to take home with you and incorporate them into your personal worship as well as bring back with you into our corporate worship here. One of those truths that I really hope that sticks with us is that worship involves praise. Praise is an expression of adoration, of admiration toward God. In fact, praise is worship. So when we see something that God has done, when we say thank you to Him, when we say the words praise the Lord, that's what God wants from us. I'm afraid that we've lost something in the area of praise. I don't know if it's that we forget where the true blessings come from and we just take it for granted, because we are a blessed nation. We are a blessed community. You know, some of you have moved off and then come back home, so you know more about what else is out there, but do we really thank the Lord for that? I think also sometimes we forget where true blessings come from. And we have gotten out of the habit of using the Christian language of praise out loud. I mean, saying things like, praise the Lord. Maybe it's because we think, oh, they'll think I'm you know, a holy roller. I don't know what that noise is, but it'll stop. We just don't want people to think we're crazy. So we don't say that out loud, out there, or even around each other. Listen, when something good happens, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Not what comes into your heart. I hope that's praise. But what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Praise? David said in our text, which we've read in our scripture reading this morning, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. David is writing this psalm to himself. It's kind of a way for him to remind himself of all the things that God has done for him that is praiseworthy. I think it'd be a great idea if we kept a record of the things that God has done so that you can take it out and use it for prayer. If you have a smartphone, there's an app already on there that is for lists. You can make up lists of things. You can put it right on there. It'll be very helpful to you to remember those things, which make you think or feel anyway, like saying praise the Lord, even if you don't say them out loud. Well, this morning I want to share with you three benefits of praise. Now, these are not things you can write on your list per se, but there will be things contained in them that definitely you'll be able to add to your list to get your list started this morning. First of all, I want you to see that praise gets our focus on God. When we begin to praise the Lord, when we see the things that He has done, it's putting our focus on Him, on what the Lord has done. So we praise Him, and we need to praise Him. We need to become grateful to Him for all the good things that we enjoy. And we need to express our gratitude to God. We need to express that God is worthy of our praise, that He's worthy of our attention, that He's worthy of our time. When good things happen to us, we need to be thankful to the one who gives us the good things. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father in heaven. When bad things happen, we need to come to Him and acknowledge that He's big enough to take care of it. And you know what? That list, if you've started that list, when you're down, when things aren't going real well, You get that list out and you remind yourself, just like David is doing, you remind yourself what the Lord has done. In this text, David reminds himself of the great things that God has done. He says in verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Who redeems thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." When we come into the presence of God, whether at home or in a corporate worship here at church, when we remember and look at what God has given us, we can't help but praise Him. After all, it says He saved you. Well, that ought to say, you know, get your heart to say, praise the Lord. He saved you. He redeemed us. That's what it says in our text. That word redeem means to purchase. Jesus paid a price. The God of all creation came and veiled His glory and died on a cruel Roman cross because He loved you. It meant something. We need to praise Him for that. He changed our destination. He says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." We were headed for hell. That's where our eternity would have left us. But He saved you from that path. He set you on a new path. And then to top it all off, that's what it means there, "Who crowneth thee." To top it all off, He showed you His love, His loving kindness. He gave you His mercies. Boy, just those first four verses, there's a lot that we ought to be just praising God for. He is worthy of our praise. I don't know if you've ever said those words out loud. It may sound kind of funny to you. So I'm not going to pursue that here this morning. But here's what I'd like you to do. In your head, in your heart, if it comes out of your mouth, that's okay. But just say in your heart to Him as a praise, "Praise God for my salvation." Just say that to yourself. Praise God for my salvation. It's all because of Him. Everything about those two verses that we've just read, verse 3 and 4, tells us how much God has done for us. It's good to praise the Lord. The Bible says God dwells in the praises of His people. And if you've ever felt far from God in your Christian walk, just in a day, just start praising Him, remembering the things He has done, and say, "God, I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot to praise You for." And then go for that list. You know, "God, I'm so thankful for my salvation, that You redeemed me. You came and purposefully loved me, that You healed me, that You changed my destination. You've put me on a path that is going to lead to You." Just start praising Him. You'll feel His presence because He promises that He is going to dwell in the praises of His people. It's good to praise God, and not just to yourself. It's good to praise God out loud. Sure, maybe some of your friends are going to think, you know, "Well, what's happened to you?" But that's all right. It's a good thing what's happened to you. God has redeemed you. I read this story this week, and I had to share it with you. It's about Grandma's peanut brittle. Grandma makes blue ribbon peanut brittle for the county fair. She knows that you, her grandson, loves that peanut brittle, so she gives you some. And she grins and she chuckles to her friends and tells them how you sometimes just hoard it and take one little piece at a time, but you don't share it with anybody. You keep it to yourself. She's your grandma. She overlooks that part of you. She's thankful that you just like her candy. The article went on and said, "But if you take that peanut brittle and you take it to work and you share it with all of your friends, well, then Grandma becomes an instant celebrity. And if they ever see her out in public, they never fail to mention her peanut brittle." Think about that, how that makes her feel when your friends go to her and say, "I love that peanut brittle. Boy, I wish you'd make me some." Now she calls her friends and she doesn't chuckle at you, hoard it. She's saying, "You know what? Tom took my peanut brittle to work. Now they all want me to make some for them." Now, that's not a complaint. That is a compliment. it's praise. You know where I'm getting at with this story, don't you? You see, when you keep it to yourself, that's fine. God loves that. He's happy with that, that you sit there in your prayer closet or in your car and remember those things and praise Him. But how much greater it makes Him feel when you're out there and you're telling people what great things God has done for you. Last week I asked you to turn to your neighbor here in the sanctuary and say, God is worthy of my worship. Well, this week I want you to go out there to your neighbor, you know, the one you live by, the one you work with. And I want you to just share one thing that you don't take any credit for. You just say, this is what God has done for me. Give God the praise. Just share that with somebody out there. Tell them that He saved you. Tell them that He changed your eternity. Just tell them that He loves you. That He's has shown you mercy. That's what the Bible calls a sacrifice of praise, because how many here say, that's my gear house? I love to go out there and say things like that. None of us, really. So we make it a sacrifice to God to tell others what God has done for you. God loves it when we acknowledge all the good things that He has given us. And He likes it even more when we share that with those around us. Hey! Just tell them at church when you come. You know, and you're passing somebody. Let me tell you what God did for me this week and just share the story. In Sunday school, in the sanctuary, we a lot of times give you time to give a praise or a prayer request. So give that. Share it with God's people. We need to hear it too. We should focus in on what God has done for us. His forgiveness. His changing us, His sustaining us. We should be grateful to Him and we should praise Him. And we should tell others all about it. And when you're getting down in the dumps, start considering all the things that God has done for you. That's why it would be great to have that list. Remind yourself of all the things that He has done, just like David does in this psalm. Start thanking God for the blessing that He gives you. Praise Him. Worship Him. Praise places our focus on God. Secondly, praise increases our understanding of God. It helps us to understand God better. There is a great preacher who always began his prayer with an expression of gratitude. No matter what was going on in the church, no matter what was going on in his life, he always managed to have a word of praise. Well, one cold, very miserable day, his congregation wondered what he would say. He went into the pulpit and he began his prayer. He says, "We thank Thee, O God, that the weather is not always like this." You know, we've had some days here lately that we thank God for them. Boy, they were great. But you remember before that, it was hot. It's going to get hot again, probably. But just remember that. We have something to praise God for, no matter what the situation. I'm thankful that God is a God who can change the weather. He is that powerful. Just think about that time the disciples are out there on the lake. And they're going, and a storm pops up. Jesus downstairs, he's sound asleep. Well, these seasoned fishermen are being tossed about, battered by the waves, thinking they were going to drown. They wake up Jesus, he comes out, and he changes everything. That's your life, beloved. I hope you know that. You can be tossed about. You may think you're drowning in whatever the problem is, but when you wake up, Jesus, when you start praising Him, He comes and He changes everything. He's always able to make the difference in your life, even when the storms are raging. This past week, I looked up a couple of verses I wanted to share with you. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says there that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, there's something else to write on your list. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'm thankful that God is able to make all grace abound toward me. I need grace. Grace is the strength that you need to do the things that God has asked you to do. Grace is strength. It's power. God has given us so much grace, He says that it overflows. So there's another one. Here's the other verse, Hebrews 11, 19. This is about Abraham. And it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, y'all know the story of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were asked by God to leave their family and start a new nation. He said, I'll make you a nation so great that it'll be more than the stars in the sky, more than the sands of the sea. The only problem is Abraham didn't have a son. And God kept promising, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham prayed about this son. Many years gone by. In fact, the Bible says it got to the point where both Abraham and Sarah were not able to have children. Now, you guys know the rest of the story. Sarah got pregnant. Sarah had a son, a little boy. And they named him Isaac. Can you imagine what that celebration must have been like when Sarah delivered a son, healthy baby boy? I believe Abraham went all over the camp just praising God. Thank you, God, for giving me a son. Thank you for keeping your promise. Even in my old age, praise you. This child began to grow, and you'd think they lived happily ever after, but when Isaac was just a young lad, probably 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, something happened. God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son up to the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him there to me. Now, I don't know how Abraham did it, but Abraham obeyed. That's why he's the patriarch. Abraham was faithful. Abraham did what God asked him to do. In fact, I believe that Isaac carried the tinder, the sticks that were going to be used at the altar. Carries them up there, lays it all out, ties up Isaac. Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? He said, you'll see in a minute. Put him on the altar. Raises up his knife. That's when God says, Abraham, stop. And Abraham turned around. There was a ram. That was what the sacrifice would be. And we look at that story and we think, wow, Abraham, that's awesome about you. But it's awesome about God. Abraham believed God was able. That's what that verse is telling us. He believed that God was able to raise him up. See, Abraham had lived with God for so long that he knew that God was able. First of all, he was able to give him a son even at an old age. If he was able to do that, he said, I know that you can even raise him from the dead. And what's more, he always believed that God would provide the sacrifice, the ram. See, Abraham believed that even if Isaac had been killed, he would have been brought back to life. And praise is what builds that kind of understanding. When we have that list, whether in our heart or on our iPhone, and we begin to see and remember the great things that God has done, we get a better understanding about God. We understand that God is able. Praise God for what He is able to do. Praise God for the blessings that He has given you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's one of the benefits of praise. Here's the final one. Praise helps build our confidence in God. Moses, this is a time where God has delivered the people out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They get to the other side. Pharaoh's army has been defeated, and they camp out. Exodus 15:2 is a song of praise from Moses. He said, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, here's a man who is speaking with confidence. He doesn't say that God might be my strength. He doesn't say that God may be my song. He doesn't say that God could be my salvation. He said God is all of those things. He is my strength, my song, my salvation. And why shouldn't Moses express that confidence in him? He has just watched him for years being capable of so many things. God is able to release his chosen people from that bond of slavery. He's already done that. He's opened the Red Sea, allowed his people to walk through it on dry ground. I mean, dry ground. This has been under this sea ever since God created it. How in the world could it be dry? Because of God. And they get across in that same sea that opened a way for them, comes down on Pharaoh's army and destroys them. He has confidence in God. That God can turn circumstances and situations upside down. That's how God works. There's a man back in the 1800s, his name is George Mueller. George Mueller is known for a journal that he kept of his answers to prayer. He kept a journal to praise God so he could go back and remember how good God was. In fact, he said, many of the prayers were answered while I was still praying. One night he got word that he built several orphanages in England. And one night he gets word that they have no food for the something like 10,000 children that he was keeping in orphanages. No food for breakfast in the morning. Well, the next day, George Mueller goes to one of the orphanages, and he comes to join the children for breakfast. There's a plate at the table. There's a cup at the table. There's a spoon. No food. Nothing. It's all gone. George Mueller stands. He says to the children, "Let's pray." He made this his prayer. He said, "Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." As he finished the prayer, there's a knock at the door. It was the baker. He said, "I couldn't sleep last night. I got up at 2 o'clock this morning, started baking bread, have way too much for my store." He said, "I thought I'd give some hot, fresh baked bread to the children." George Mueller said, "Come on in." No sooner did the baker leave, there's another knock on the door. Man going by saying, "I was taking milk to the market. My wagon broke down. I can't fix it with all the milk on there. I thought maybe you had some things we could put the milk in and we'll just give it to the children." George Mueller not only thanked that milkman, not only thanked that baker, but he thanked the God who gave it. He knew that if he would turn his problems over to the Lord was going to provide. There's a lesson here for us. Beloved, when we turn our resources over to God, he's going to use them to further his kingdom in ways that we can't understand. And in the days that we have needs, all we have to do is remember our God loves us. He has shown us mercy. He has showered us with his grace. And he will provide. God can do great things. God is able. God is big enough. So I ask you, do you know him this morning in this intimate way? I don't mean knowledge in your head, but in your heart. Do you know him? We'd love to have a chance to share with you how you can be saved. We'd love to share with you how, you know, if you're having problems, how God is able to help you with those problems. In a minute, we're going to have a time of invitation. We invite you to come to know Jesus as Savior number one. If you're not sure of your salvation, Scott and I would love to share with you out of God's Word how you can be sure. Maybe you're not a member here, but you want to be. You believe that God has called you to be a member here. We invite you to come and join with us. But listen, maybe your life is just like some of these that we've talked about today. Things aren't going well. You're one of the disciples out there on the sea during the storm. And you're just being tossed back and forth. We'd love to pray with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we close, I pray that this message would have great meaning and be remembered, because we do serve such a good God, a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who has saved us, redeemed us, offers that salvation to everyone no matter what. There's no sin in our life that we could do that would make you not love us. Your mercies are poured out upon us every day. Your graces are abundant. So we ask you, O God, to help us in this hour to make a decision for you, to be men and women of praise, that that lost person today would give their heart to you. Jesus, I pray that you would move greatly in the midst of your people. Begin now to just stir our hearts, because as we praise you, your presence will be here. I thank you that we have the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit teaches us many wonderful things. Let the Word go out today with power and not come back empty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So our invitation song is 300, Without Him, just two verses. And I invite you to come on this first as we stand together and as we sing. You come right now.
Without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I surely fail. Without Him I would be thrifty, like a ship without a sail.
Second verse, you come.
Without Him I would be dying. Without Him I'd be insane. Without Him life would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus.
This week, I wanted to preach the sermon first and then sing our songs. I did both. I picked the songs, but I didn't realize until we were singing how well they meshed together. So go back and think of those. Even that, you know, I would be dying if He didn't change the direction in my life. That's where I'd be in slain. We have a good God, a great God, and He's worthy of our praise. Thank you for being here this morning. Anybody have anything to share? We're early. I'm going to ask that you be seated just for a minute. And do you still want to? Yeah. We have just a short report from the mission team.
Is he going to play it?
It should be.
Okay. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. I just want to give you a two-minute overview of what happened. I know most of you know we didn't miss our flight. We got transferred to another flight and had to go to Honduras via Washington, D.C., which, you know, still, I trust God had a reason for that. But if he gets this going real quick. We did Bible school 3 days, and these are just some pictures there at the Bible school and how we loved on the kids. And is it going to work or not? Is that going to play?
Oh.
Oh, I thought that was going to play.
I had been during the beginning.
Oh, that's what I was waiting. That's what I wanted to show real quick. Alan's gone back there. But I do appreciate all the prayers and everything while we were there, especially for those cool breezes. I know some of you slept in on their soccer field, and I'm like, come on, Mount Pisgah, come on, Kentucky, come on. I mean, relatives all over the United States. And all of a sudden, this breeze come by. Well, the second day, I had my little sun visor on, and it almost blew my sun visor off. So I do thank you for that. And like I said, Friday morning, we were out working on that concrete, and it was really hot. And about 11:30, I looked, and this breeze just came through. You could see it in the trees there. And I'm like, okay, they're up. They're praying this morning. So I do appreciate it, and thank you for your love and support.
Amen.